Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, all this week we've been talking about the abortion issue on this broadcast, and I know for some folks that may be wearying, but the fact of the matter is, even though it's a very unhappy subject, even though it is a very unhappy situation, we need to be focused on it at this time. In just a few moments, my guest will be Denise Harley. She is the senior counsel and director of the Center for Life with the Alliance Defending Freedom. She is a very accomplished attorney. She got her bachelor degree, summa cum laude, in psychology and interdisciplinary social science from Florida State University, a master's degree in political science from Stanford University, and her Juris Doctor from Duke University Law School. And while at Duke, she served as the executive editor of Law and Contemporary Problems, which is the law school's oldest journal. She's a member of the state bars of California, Florida, and Georgia, and admitted to multiple federal district and appellate courts, as well as the U.S. Supreme Court. And we're going to be talking with her about a case right now that is absolutely pivotal. It is vital as to the future of our country. We'll be talking about the Dobbs case, and she is very much involved with this. We have other friends with other organizations that are also very much involved with this. Our friends at the American Center for Law and Justice, I know the Beckett folks have been involved, and various other groups that have joined together to file amicus briefs with the court, urging that the Mississippi law be upheld. But I want you to understand, this is an historic moment. The United States government has an opportunity right now, an unprecedented opportunity, to do the right thing. And I want you to pray, and we'll talk more about that coming up, but I want you to pray that God's going to intervene. And if you're out there and you're listening and it's like, I just still don't get it, you know, what's the big deal? The big deal is human life. If you really believe that a child in the womb is human and alive, then you ought to care deeply about the fact that our current legal situation in this country is that it's okay to kill that live human. Now, if you don't believe that it's a live human until after it's born, I just ask you to think that through and to pray it through, but think it through. Is it fair to say that that child is human and alive if it's born premature? What about a child who's born premature? Would you say that's a live human? Or would you say, well, no, it has to be full term and born before it's a live human? I don't know anybody who's that dumb. I think once the child is out of the womb, people say, okay, yeah, that's a human. I don't know how much you've studied fetal development. I'm not a doctor, but believe me, I've studied this a lot. And I've got 7 kids, 4 of them adopted, but 3 of them biologically mine. And I want you to know, that's a live human we're talking about. That's a baby. And that child has a right to life. Does the mother have a right to make decisions about her health? Of course. But not if that decision means killing someone else. That's not her right. So we're going to be talking again this evening about the Dobbs case and the general climate here in this country. My guest, as I said, is Denise Harley, and I hope that you'll be blessed by this conversation.
Abiding in Christ is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. We are grateful for gifts of any amount. You can make a donation online at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and is holding out his hand.
Denise, tell us about the Dobbs case that is currently before the U.S. Supreme Court, and many hope will be the instrument of God to overturn Roe v. Wade. Tell us where we are right now in that process.
Yes. Well, life is a human right, and mm-hmm. the Supreme Court right now has an opportunity to overturn Roe v. Wade by upholding Mississippi's law that protects unborn children and their mothers. So last month, on December 1st, the Supreme Court heard a challenge to Mississippi's very common sense law, which protects unborn children and protects women's health by limiting abortions after 15 weeks. Mm-hmm. Because Roe v. Wade legalized abortion up to birth for mm-hmm. any reason whatsoever. This is actually a vehicle to potentially overturn Roe entirely and uphold America's foundational respect for life. So that's the reason we're all very excited about that case and very excited to be marching for life this week in what might be the last year that we're grieving Roe v. Wade.
Well, I certainly pray that God will give that victory. I'm old enough and have cared about this long enough that I've been disappointed plenty of times, but I've never seen a greater opportunity for things to go in the direction of the sanctity of life. And I am grateful for your involvement and the involvement of ADF, along with other organizations, in supporting the Mississippi law. Now, let me ask you a question. If Roe v. Wade is overturned, and there are a number of ways that they could do that. I mean, it could be sort of a limited thing, or they could do something as sweeping as Roe v. Wade was and just declare, this is the new national policy. Children are not to be killed inside their mother's womb. Are you expecting that if they overturn Roe v. Wade, that would also with it sweep away Doe v. Bolton?
I think it would. And I don't know if your listeners are familiar, because a lot of people haven't heard the name Doe v. Bolton, but that was another companion case that was decided the same day mm-hmm. as Roe v. Wade that also allowed basically abortion for any reason. So the Doe v. Bolton case said that a woman's, health, quote, health reason for having an abortion, even up to the point of birth, could be financial or her age or considerations of her family size or mental or emotional,
yeah.
pretty much any reason.
If she would find it emotionally upsetting to have this child, then she shouldn't have to
correct.
Have it. And the certification of it being upsetting to her is done by potentially two abortion doctors. And
who
that's,
have a financial interest.
Yeah, absolutely. They have a vital interest, conflict of interest. And if you find someone who is willing to kill babies for a living, it should not surprise us that they would perhaps be willing to stretch the truth, as they might say. So I certainly hope that the decision goes our way and that it sweeps away Doe v. Bolton also, which was a hideous decision that was hidden behind by people like Bill Clinton saying, well, hey, I certainly want to limit abortion, but we've got to protect the health of the mother. And the health of the mother, defined by Doe v. Bolton, is, as you said, any and every reason.
Well, that's such an important point, and I'm so glad to say that Doe v. Bolton is very much on the chopping block, because if a very straightforward 15-week limit is mm-hmm. upheld by the court, then that completely prevents any of those excuses or reasons being used after the 15-week point. Mississippi's laws is extremely narrow, and the only exception allowed is for when the life of the mother is in jeopardy,
yes.
The actual life. And so that will do away with all of the damage that has caused, more than 60 million deaths of unborn children since
yes.
Roe and Doe were decided on that horrible day.
Yes. Well, you know, one of the things I've shared on this broadcast before and in various settings is that if you look at the statistics for child abuse, and there's a hockey stick graph, basically, that shows this enormous spike in child abuse in 1973. The promise of Planned Parenthood was that if abortion is legalized, every child will be a wanted child and children will be spared from abuse. And of course, we're going to abuse them before they're born by killing them. But the idea was then we won't have children who've been born that really aren't wanted and therefore get abused, which is, again, just a pack of lies. But if you look at what happened, it's very clear that something demonic occurred in our culture. And when it became legal under the government's authority to slaughter children in the womb, children became easily slaughtered outside the womb as well. And all kinds of heinous, medically confirmed child abuse has gone on after children are born, because we now live in a country where children are treated as property. And it's absolutely tragic that we have decades of this, but people should be praying that God will move on the hearts of a sufficient number of justices to give a victory in the Dobbs case.
We absolutely have to keep this covered in prayer. And you're right that abortion has no place in a civilized society.
Mm-hmm.
The U.S. is an extreme outlier in abortion law and policy because of Roe and Doe.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Mississippi's law that chooses to protect life after 15 weeks is consistent with what most countries do worldwide. In fact, 75% of nations around the world limit abortions at 12 weeks.
Mm.
And so that is a point that actually came up during the Dobbs oral argument that Chief Justice Roberts raised on his own. And just saying, we are one of only a handful of nations that includes China and North Korea
mm-hmm.
that allows abortion on demand through all 9 months of pregnancy.
Yeah.
What in the world are we doing when we have human rights policies that are consistent with some of the most heinous and atrocious human rights violators on the planet?
Well, and I'm delighted to hear that Justice Roberts is the one who brought that up, because there's obviously been some concern that despite his early years, he might not go in the right direction on this. So let's continue to pray specifically for him that he will have backbone to stand up for these children.
Absolutely. And pray that point just continues to resonate in his mind and
mm-hmm.
Makes its way into the final decision.
Yes.
Because it's an important thing that those of us who have grown up only knowing a United States where abortion is legal may have lost sort of our been desensitized to
yes.
the fact that this is rejected in most nations.
Yes. Well, and the fact is most Americans to this day haven't got a clue that it's legal through all 9 months.
That's true.
Most people, I mean, they just don't know it. No matter, even if you tell them, I've had medical doctors who have said, no, that's not true. And I've said, yes, it is. Check it out. And they're like, that can't be right. And I'm like, well, it's not right, but it's true. It's what's going on. Well, I just can't believe that. Well, please do your homework. So we need for people to know what's going on, and we need for people to pray, because this is a vital time. Now, let me ask you, if they make the sort of decision which some people have thought they might, and that is argue that it just needs to go back to the states. In other words, we're not going to protect unborn children all across the country. What we're going to do is let it go back and say that Mississippi as a state has a right to regulate this, and California and New York, you don't worry, because you can go ahead and keep killing as many children as you want. And if that sort of thing goes back, obviously there are some states, many states actually right now, that have taken steps to protect unborn children and are eagerly waiting the outcome of this case. But there are other states, not just California and New York, where the government is less friendly toward unborn children. Can we talk for a few minutes about the CareNet case in New London, Connecticut?
Oh, you bet. We're seeing a couple different things. And one is these attacks on pro-life pregnancy centers and pro-life sidewalk counselors. And so that's what's happened in Connecticut. We are defending pro-life pregnancy centers from a law that just targets their speech and essentially says that if a pregnancy center doesn't offer abortion, does not perform or refer for abortion and advertise for it, then they are subject to these overbearing speech restrictions in which the Attorney General can go after them for a violation. And the Attorney General of Connecticut has said that it's deceptive if a pregnancy center says they offer pregnancy help, but they don't promote abortion. That, he says, is deceptive. And so it's a targeting of pro-life beliefs and pro-life viewpoint, and unfortunately just a very conniving way to attempt to use the law to silence pro-life voices at a time when we're needed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. One of my college friends was Guy Condon, and Guy was one of the, I think he was like the first president or whatever of CareNet nationwide. Yes. And the presidential award is that CareNet gives to different locations around the country each year is the Guy Condon Presidential Award. But, you know, as I say, I'm an old guy, and some of us have been in this fight since the mid-70s. And, you know, it just, when you look at what has happened, it's been a Holocaust. There have been children slaughtered with the government giving its blessing and, in many states, putting roadblocks in the way of anybody who tried to help the mothers to save their children.
And that just goes to show that this is not about helping women or loving women when it comes to what the abortion industry is doing.
Right.
The truth is, women don't need abortion to thrive. Women need support. Abortion's not healthcare. Abortion is not empowering women. It's the pro-life pregnancy centers that are there offering the free services to help these women make the best decisions possible and welcome a new child into the world. The abortion industry is telling women, pay us money because you can't possibly have a happy life and be a successful mom, you know, and have an education or work or something like that. And that's, it's a lie. And it's exposed over and over again in the actions of the abortion industry.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Again, there have been various strategies by various wicked people over the years, but one of the things that they did a number of years ago was as the pregnancy centers began to offer ultrasound, there were efforts in a number of states to try and stop the crisis pregnancy centers from being able to offer ultrasound because they don't want women to know what's going on inside. They want to be able to tell them it's just a bunch of cells. It's just undifferentiated tissue. It's just a clump of tissue. It's just the product of conception. You know, all these terms that they use in order to try and disguise the truth. And when moms see what's happening and hear that heartbeat, it makes a difference.
Oh, it does. And this is still going on right now. I think I have lawsuits in three different states, Montana, North Dakota, and North Carolina, where I'm helping the state defend good pro-life laws that simply give women information about the baby inside of them, about whether there's a heartbeat, about common sense laws, even just making sure that only physicians are performing this very dangerous and risky surgical procedure that's life-ending.
Yes.
And it is always Planned Parenthood or abortionists that are challenging these laws that protect the women, protect the patients. And it's the fox guarding the hen house.
Yes.
And it's completely wrong. And so you're right. They're not going to let up. But we have to keep putting the truth out there and really embrace a culture of life. And I'm just hoping that this week's March for Life and the decision in the Dobbs case is going to be a wake-up moment to recognize that life is a human right.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Well, we pray to that end. And I'm very grateful, as I said earlier, Denise, for the fact that you are one of the people who's been out there on the front lines leading this fight. We appreciate ADF. We appreciate several other organizations that have been in this fight a long time also. And it's good that we have allies, but there is nothing that compares to getting on your knees and praying to God that he would intervene. Because the fact of the matter is, if anything else had killed that many of our children, we would feel that God's wrath was being poured out on us. But if you look at Romans 1, when God describes his wrath being poured out, it involves giving people over to do as they please. And the fact is, we're not just going to experience wrath because of the guilt of abortion. The fact that abortion has been rampant and has stolen so many lives in this country is a manifestation of Romans 1 wrath, where God has said, have it your way. Have it your way. And that is not an encouraging thing. It's not like, oh, well, so God's okay with it. No, God hates this. God cares about human life. And Jesus had a special emphasis on the value that God places on children. When I ask folks to pray for our ministry or to pray for me or my family, I will often say, I especially want you children to pray, because God pays special attention to the prayers of his children. And Jesus said, see to it you don't look down on one of these little ones. I tell you, their angels see my Father's face every day. They've got FaceTime with the God who created the universe and still governs the universe. So we need to be encouraging families to come together and pray. Children, our grandchildren, to get on their knees and pray that God will have mercy on this land and change the law once more so that the lives of the children are protected.
Oh, I'm so glad you said that, because we at ADF are in complete agreement with you on that. And in fact, we are launching this month our Generational Wins Prayer Initiative, as we call it. Our Generational Win is really the Dobbs case overturning Roe. Mm-hmm. And our goal is to get 5 to 10 million Americans, Christians, to join us in faithful prayer over specific prayer points mm-hmm. on abortion. If any of your listeners go to adflegal.org, that stands for Alliance Defending Freedom, mm-hmm. adflegal.org, you'll see right there on the homepage, you can sign up to join the prayer initiative and link arms with millions of Americans across the country who will have very simple, straightforward prayer points that you can do together with your family, your children, your grandchildren, and continue to cover this in prayer, because we know that God hears and we know that his will is to protect life and to give us eternal life. And that's the hope and that we want to bring back to this nation and to elevate in this nation as we continue to build God's kingdom. So prayer for sure is the answer.
Amen. Denise, I'm very grateful for the work that you're doing. I know that your background is one that you didn't just come to this late. You've been involved in this fight for years. And I appreciate very much the hard work that you did. You're very accomplished in terms of your training legally and the service that you've already rendered. And I appreciate, again, folks who don't just take a passing interest in this subject, but who really prayerfully say, Lord, what would you have me do? How can I be involved? And you've stepped into the fray. You've been a part of the battle. And I want you to know we appreciate that. And I would encourage folks to pray for you and to pray for ADF as you continue to stand for life in this case and all over the country.
Well, thank you. It is our honor and our pleasure. And we also covet those prayers. So thanks so much for that.
All right. God bless you. You have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.